Conversation with David Goodman, exploring ideas with innovators, change makers, business leaders, politicians, and activists. A special feature from Vermont Business for Social Responsibility, underwritten in part by CW Print and Design, formerly Copy World, your local digital print shop, offering quick design and printing services for projects of all sizes. By Green Mountain Power, partnering with customers on energy transformation while delivering clean, reliable, and cost-effective power. The Alchemist, serving the greater Waterbury community and Vermont since 2003. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. By Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, and ski erg. Proud to support nonprofit groups such as Local Motion, Vermont's statewide nonprofit advocate for walkable and bikeable communities. Let's Grow Kids, focusing on the first years of child development, as well as over 750 VBSR business members who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Learn more at www.vbsr.org.
Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. We're going to cover a variety of ground this week, starting off talking about childcare with three people involved in the issue of childcare in Vermont. In our second half hour, we'll be joined by Paul Cielo from the Public Assets Institute to talk about the governor's budget proposals, Act 60, and the education plans on the table, and how they may or may not conform with the Brigham decision. So first, let's start with child care. On Monday, the Vermont Business Roundtable released a report titled Vermont's Early Care and Learning Dividend, which details the return on investment that Vermont stands to gain by increasing public investments in high-quality early care and learning programs. The report stems from recent work conducted by Vermont's Blue Ribbon Commission on Affordable Child Care. Monday's report from the Vermont Business Roundtable found that enacting the Blue Ribbon Commission's recommendation of a high-quality, affordable early care and learning system would yield net benefits to Vermont's economy of $22 million a year. Here to talk about the child care are three people. Lisa Ventris is president of the Vermont Business Roundtable. Robin Friedner-McGuire is the executive director of Let's Grow Kids. And we'll also be joined by Kelly Klein, who is the founder of the Grunfeld Meadery. Let's start with Lisa Ventris. Lisa, this was your organization's report. What made you and the Vermont Business Roundtable decide to dive in on early childhood care?
Hi, and thanks for the opportunity. In effect, certainly from my organization's perspective, we've always thought of high-quality, affordable child care as an economic driver because it helps build capacity for future successes for not only the children receiving the care, but for their parents who need to be in the workplace. Just as a introductory comment, though, I want to make sure people appreciate that this was also a project that included some other organizations aside from the roundtable, including Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and the Permanent Fund for Vermont's Children. So we realize that this is an important issue in Vermont, and with the introduction of the report from the Blue Ribbon Commission that you cited, that really was a platform for us to consider if that vision that they created was to be realized, what would the return on investment be for all of that? And so that was the impetus behind the report, and as you said, we conducted this with the help of a research firm in Minnesota, the Wilder Research Firm, and found that indeed $3.08 would be returned for every dollar invested.
Now, the report also notes that the benefits of Vermont's economy would accrue over the working lifetime of the children receiving care, totaling over $1 billion over the next 60 years.
Right.
Explain how that would work. How does this accrue over a child's lifetime?
Right. So between the ages of 5 and 65, that individual child is going to be a productive member of society and employed and earning an income and paying taxes and putting money back into the economy. So that's a measure of it. But what it also means is that parents of those children are able to participate more fully in the workforce. And so when we consider the impact of the stability in the workforce and the talent flows for businesses, as well as decreased spending on special services, special education services, that is, all of those factors were rolled into that equation.
What, as somebody who's been, you know, deep in the weeds of this project, what has struck you the most about the findings of the report that just came out?
I think what's most meaningful to me is historically we've had to rely on national studies that were conducted decades ago and that really focused on providing services to very specific populations, high-need children, high-risk children. This report is Vermont-centric, and so the data that were used in the analysis and the methodology was really intended to reflect true benefits that could accrue to Vermont. And so that, I think, is new information. This would be benefits that would apply to all of Vermont's children, not just special needs or high-risk children, but because we believe that this is an issue that affects middle-class families as well as lower-income class families, we wanted to take a more holistic approach to that. So those, I think, are really important contributions.
Well, let's turn to Kelly Klein, the owner and CEO of the Groenfell Meadery in Colchester. Kelly, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit, give us a real-world child care story, your own story, and also that of your business and why you've been involved in the child care conversation.
Absolutely. So for one thing, part of the reason that my husband and I started our business is because we knew we wanted to have children someday, and we both wanted to have the flexibility to spend as much time with them as possible. So that was actually part of the reason that we started in on this venture. It was something where we found that both of us would be able to work when we needed to work, but also spend time with our children when we could. And that's something that I really value, but I am aware that most working parents do not have that option. And we have an employee with a daughter, as an example, and her daughter is now in kindergarten, but last year was in preschool, and the cost of preschool for their family, it was almost cheaper for one of the parents to stay home than to send their child to preschool. And, of course, there are benefits to the parents to being able to be out there in the workforce interacting with other adults, and there's benefits to the children to being in classes with other kids their age, socializing, and the fact that that was a tough decision, I think, is really unfortunate. And right now, this little girl is in kindergarten, and they're facing the question of after-school care. The school does not provide after-school care until, I believe, second grade in her school district. So this year and next year, they're having to find some private after-school provider. And in the town, they're all home-based providers. There aren't any licensed programs, which is not necessarily a huge problem. But once again, the options are limited. It's going to be expensive. And it's a very frustrating situation for this family.
How many employees does Groenfeld Meadery have?
So right now we have 6 employees, and we're a growing company, so we expect to have more employees in the future, and we're trying to plan ahead. And we're very serious, even though we're a small company, we're very serious about trying to figure out a way to provide childcare for all of our employees who need it.
How would you do that?
Different options for that. But that's something that we would love to provide as an employee benefit because it's so important.
So a sort of a cash stipend for this?
We may do that, or we may even figure out a way to set up an in-house childcare system so that the kids can come after school, or if they're under school age, that they can be in a, you know, be in a wholesome environment with other kids, and the parents don't have to worry about it.
Well, you know, asking the number of employees, because when you're talking about one employee who, you know, you're in a precarious situation for your business to lose, you know, she would be 1/6 of your workforce at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah, and if she couldn't work because she was having to, you know, clock out at 2:30 to go pick up her daughter every single day, that would be very unfortunate for us. It would be a serious detriment. But the more employees we have, the more likely we are to have more and more in that situation where it's a huge dilemma. Do I find childcare? How can I find high quality childcare? How can I find affordable childcare? And making sure that we're setting up our children for the best possible future is also very important.
Okay. Well, Kelly Klein from Groenfeld Meadery, thanks for sharing your story. And we'll check back in and see how your thinking evolves as a business person on this. That'll be an interesting touchstone for us on this issue. Let's turn now to Robin Friedner-McGuire. She's the executive director of Let's Grow Kids. Robin, welcome back to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks for having me.
So you are at the center of a big discussion going on, a debate going on in the state. There were some, you were arguably one of the winners in the governor's budget address this year in terms of early childhood programs. Their proposal is to send about $9.6 million for early care and learning for early care programs. But where does this stand now? This budget has been in turmoil, I don't think is too strong a word, as different legislative committees are voting down one of its key elements, the education piece.
Well, I think one of the things that we're really appreciative of is that the governor has really focused on young children and has demonstrated a real commitment to ensuring that we have high-quality, affordable child care. So it's great that our kids are really kind of the winner, if you would, when you think about the commitment that the governor would like to make. And we also have a lot of terrific legislative champions who really agree that we need to invest more in early care and learning programs for young kids. And so we're hoping that, you know, calmer heads prevail and that we can really have a conversation moving forward about how we're going to achieve high quality, affordable child care here in the state. We really can't afford to continue to operate the way that we're operating. And we need to start thinking about how can we increase our investments into high quality, affordable child care.
What is the, there's now tremendous uncertainty about what will actually survive in terms of the things that were proposed and the things going forward. Can you give us a sense of where early child care funding stands now?
I wish I had a crystal ball to know how things were going to play out this legislative session. For many years now, parents and child care providers have been advocating for increased investment in the Child Care Financial Assistance Program. And the governor's commitment of $7.5 million in the Child Care Financial Assistance Program would really be a game changer for young kids and for families who are struggling to access high-quality child care for their for their children when they're in the workforce. So there's a lot happening in the state house. I know that, you know, as a democratically led state house, I think people feel challenged by certain aspects of the governor's proposal, but we're also certainly hearing that there is some interest in a broader conversation about this concept of cradle to career. I was at the Early Childhood Business Council launch a couple of weeks ago, and the governor came and spoke, and he really set a good tone there of setting out this vision of how do we give all of our children really the best start to life and support them from a young age until they are adults and become productive citizens. My hope is that the conversation doesn't stop in terms of talking about more investment, more in support for young kids. Too many children are entering kindergarten unprepared, and walking into a public school unprepared only means that we are spending more money to try to get more support for those young kids.
You mentioned that the early child care subsidy would be a game changer. Why?
So the A child care financial assistance program is really tuition assistance that parents can use to pay for child care. The thing that's really interesting about child care is that it costs a lot of money for parents. Up to 40% of their household income for middle income families is spent on child care. And at the same time, child care providers who want to provide quality care really struggle to provide that type of quality care because it costs. So what the Child Care Financial Assistance Program does, it's a really great strategy to get at affordability, to get at access, and also to help increase the quality of the system across the board. To increase the investment into the financial assistance program, what you're really doing is helping parents pay for the quality care, and especially low-income families.
I want to quote from the Times Argus Rutland Herald editorial talking about the budget because, as we say, the talk about it from the governor has been notable, but if there's no money for it, it's just talk. And here's what the Times Argus editorial says. Quote, it's hard to say whether Scott's budget plan was constructed out of naivete or cynicism. He's proposed an array of laudable initiatives, including increased spending for child care and for higher education. But his method for paying for them is so far-fetched that his budget, in essence, is built on a fantasy. Those are strong words, and it really leaves in doubt whether anything is going to happen of the things that were proposed there.
You know, it wouldn't be new terrain for us if the Child Care Financial Assistance Program didn't receive the types of increases that we would hope for, but that's the reason why we're here. We really need to have folks making sure that they're talking to their legislators about how important it is to support our young children and to really make sure that they understand that this is a concern for our kids, this is a concern for working families, and ultimately it's a concern for our community and for Vermont's economic prosperity. I'm really appreciative of the Vermont Businesses Roundtable's work on the report that they issued, because it's also one of the wisest investments that we can make. And the demonstration that for every dollar that you spend on early childhood, there's a $3.08 return is something that we really need to look at and recognize as really an opportunity for us if we think about reset our priorities.
Lisa Ventris from the Vermont Business Roundtable, I want to bring you back in here. How do you impress upon people? You've come out with a report that gives some impressive numbers that, a $3 return on every dollar spent on child care. But how do you make this a political priority?
Well, we prefer to make it an economic imperative, quite frankly. When the Early Childhood Business Council came together, it was around a shared concern that in order for our businesses to succeed, in order for our state to have a thriving economy, we have to help parents get their children into safe and nurturing environments so that they can go be productive. There are a little over 36,000 children in Vermont between the ages of 0 and 5, and more than 70% of those kids have all of their parents in the workforce. So 25,000 plus kids need a safe place to go every day. And what we know is that there is a lack of program, either public or private. There is a lack of high-quality program. So if we, all Vermonters, share a value of wanting to make our children have the best start in life that they can possibly have, then we have to figure out a way to make the investments that are necessary and to fulfill the vision that this Blue Ribbon Commission painted, which describes the elements of a high-quality program, help to quantify the need, the monetary need to make those investments. What we wanted to do with this report was to give support to the idea and help people to appreciate that it's not a losing proposition for them. We will have a healthier, more productive society if we can help these children and their families at this early point in their lives.
So I'm curious, you heard Kelly Klein, the owner of Groenfell Meadery, talk about getting more involved in the child care funding of their for their own employees, either by having an in-house child care or by providing some sort of cash stipend for this. Is that something that other businesses are actively talking about? That's a pretty big commitment.
It is a big commitment, and I think those type of supports really are going to be unique for each and every business and that workforce. What the business council hopes to do, though, is to get people to realize we really don't have any other choice but to support families in this way. And so if there are businesses that have their own on-site child care programs, if there are subsidies that employers give to their workers as an element of their total compensation package, then that's all great stuff.
Are there any Vermont businesses, or I suppose businesses anywhere, but that kind of have what you would consider to be a model program of, you know, in support for early childhood care?
Well, certainly the University of Vermont Health Network has program services for their employees. And that is a joint effort with the Greater Burlington YMCA, which is a highly rated program. So I would highlight that as an example. But I think the bigger conversation, and I frankly applaud Governor Scott for helping get this conversation started. And people may criticize the way in which he has structured it, but I think now is the time, with so many businesses in a critical shortage of workers. We need to make sure that the parents are able to work, and we need to make sure that our talent pipeline of these children going into the school system and becoming educated and aspiring to some type of career and activity at the other end of that education pipeline, we need to start making those investments now.
Okay, well, on that note, we're going to have to leave it there. Lisa Ventress, president of the Vermont Business Roundtable, Robin Friedner-McGuire, the executive director of Let's Grow Kids, and Kelly Klein, the owner and CEO of Groenfell Meadery, thanks so much for joining us on the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you.
And we'll be back just after the news, talking to Paul Cielo from the Public Assets Institute.